Welcome to the worship team. My name is Dan Wilt, and I'd like to encourage you as you answer the high calling to serve with your church's worship team. Over the next few minutes, I'd like to talk about what it means to be a part of this vital ministry in your local church, how you can better serve, how you can grow as a musician, as a leader, as a worshiper yourself, and how you can support your leaders and your community in what God is already doing in worship in your church. We'll touch many practical ideas in seven areas of your worship ministry involvement that I believe will encourage you and strengthen you as you serve. So welcome to the worship team. Let's get started. We're going to look at seven areas of worship ministry and say a few things about each. The first is the heart of worship. Number two, worship team values. Number three, serving your worship leader. Number four, serving your worship team. Number five, serving your church. Number six, becoming a worshiper. And then number seven, I want to leave you with some practical thoughts. So let's begin with the heart of worship. Why do we do this? Why do we do what we do as a worship team? Well, we begin with this question, what is worship? And I'd like to read this from Romans 12, 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Worship is a whole life response to the love of God. And our life of worship, expressed as Eugene Peterson puts it, our sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, can be powered by what happens when we come together on a Sunday morning and we worship. We sing. We express our worship in all the ways that we do. Songs, particularly, are a place people go to meet with God. And singing together in worship can strengthen us for living out our faith in every other area of life. So the second question comes, why do we worship? And I love this little verse in 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. In other words, worship is a response to God's love. That's why we worship. That's why we sing. That's why we practice on our own and we rehearse together. That's why we make music. We do visuals. We do sound. All those elements come together to help people to respond to the love of God that is already pursuing them, that is already capturing their hearts. I like to say it this way. God is the subject of the worship sentence. Many years ago, Robert Weber said that if we get that wrong, we get everything wrong. God is the one who then enacts the verb of love toward us as the object of His love. Then we, in turn, respond to God's love, and the circle of worship continues. When we get that out of order, that we're the ones primarily pursuing God from the gate, we get into all sorts of silly religious gymnastics, and worship becomes a show. But when God is the subject of worship, acting on us in love, then we realize that everything we're doing in creating that space for worship is to help everyone in the room, including us, respond to God's pursuing love. So let's talk about why then we do what we do as a worship team. A worship team creates a space for people to encounter God, to engage with His story, to meet with God in prayer. A song involves the whole body and mind to sing, and when the body and mind are engaged, often the heart will follow. Many worship teams primarily lead in the musical expression of worship, and honestly, it is one of the most powerful places to encounter God that we have within our worship gatherings. A worship team, a worship band, everyone who's involved in media, sound, and visuals, we are creating a space for people to respond to God in worship. People come in with their busy, distracted, and even painful lives speaking to them in their heart and mind. And we say what the psalmist said, when can I go and meet with God? And as we are saying that all together, we as the worship team and community say, how about here? How about right now? That's when and where we can meet with God. That is a vital role in the life of any church. One day, many years ago, a suicidal young man came into our church, and no one knew that he was planning to take his life that very night. He came into our church, and during worship, he was particularly touched by one of the worship songs we were singing and how much the congregation was experiencing the love and the kindness and the grace of God. By the time the service was over, his heart had opened up, he was being prayed for, and his life was spared. That is just one of the thousands and thousands of stories going on in churches around the world every single week. And it's an example of why what we do is so important as a worship team. So let's talk for a little bit about worship team values. What values should lead us as a worship community? Well, six core values sit at the center of all we do as a worship team. There might be more, but these are the ones that I like to lift out and talk about. They are 1, intimacy, 2, integrity, 3, accessibility, 4, authenticity, 5, kingdom expectation, and 6, personal discipleship. Let's look at each one for a moment in turn. 1, intimacy. Our job is to make a way for people to meet with God, not to get hung up on how awesome we are. People being close to Jesus is the goal. It's the win. It's what we're after. If we succeed in that, we've all succeeded. If we fail in that, we've all failed in the worship task. Intimacy is the goal. Encountering God's presence and God's story again and again and again. We all need it over a lifetime. 2, integrity. We should be living the words we're singing, and if we're not, we should course correct in our lives so that we are. We have a trajectory going on in our lives as a worship community member, as a worshiper, and that trajectory is leading us toward the Lord. If we're on that trajectory, I don't believe this is about perfection, that we're exactly doing everything right. I believe it's about the direction of our heart headed toward being in accord, in integrity with the words we're singing, as much as we are with the words that we're saying in life. The songs we sing matter. 3, accessibility. When we look out at the room of worshipers, who do we see? Who do we actually see with our eyes? Our goal is to see. It's to help people who are young, who are middle-aged, old, healthy, disabled, new to the church, old to the church, everyone in that room to have an accessible path to meeting with God in worship. And this is where I just like to say, forget the show. Make a way, build an on-ramp for people who might otherwise have difficulty connecting with God, build an on-ramp for them to at least have a space where they can yield to the presence and the love of God. 4, authenticity. We need to be who we are as a church and as a worshiper and musician and as a team. Our sound should connect with the cultural moment we're in, but we still have to be who we are rather than trying to be someone we're not. I encourage people in worship teams to expand and stretch the musical diversity that they're listening to and able to play. I encourage communities to reach out into their community to become as diverse as their town or city is, if they can, in their church. But at the same time, there is a trueness about who we are that we need to continue to come back to and recognize the unique calling that God has placed on us as a community, on us as a worship team, and on us as individuals. The next value is kingdom expectation. 5, kingdom expectation. This is so important. If the worship team doesn't expect the Holy Spirit to move on people's hearts during worship, who will? We are intercessors. We are asking the Holy Spirit to move as we lead those songs. Songs are a place that people go to meet with God. And in the songs, they can find healing for their souls, strength for their minds, a fresh capacity to walk with Jesus into their unknown future. Then the value of personal discipleship comes in. Every worship team member should be attentive to their own walk with God. Everyone, in my view, needs a mentor, a small group, someone like a pastor who can speak deeply into their lives, who has access to their heart and can say great encouragement words and great challenging words in our lives. So we're heading toward this idea of moving from team to tribe. Now, there might be a better word than tribe here. It could be the word family. I like to use the word tribe simply because it captures something that we see at work all over the world. A worship team should be a tribe rather than just a team. A team, like a sports team, is a bunch of players, a collection of players making the success, the goal of winning, happen. A tribe, however, is a group of people who share the same values, the same history, the same heart, the same deep reason. Our success is not just a win on a Sunday morning, it's seeing our community's people become like Jesus. So we want to move from just being a team to being a tribe. Many years ago, I actually watched a tribe dance for us in South Africa. They had these beautiful expressions of cultural voicing of love and joy and history, and we were captured, we were drawn in by it. And for that moment, they said to us they wanted us to feel as though we were a part of their family, that we were connected with their story, and we did. I think we should have that kind of mentality as we do what we do as a worship team, not only for our local church's vision, but for the wider kingdom family vision that is at work in the world. So let's talk about how you can serve your worship leader, how you can offer support along the way. I like to talk about this in terms of the five B's. Your worship leader has a calling on their life as much as you do, and it is to lead the community in worship. That's an invitation that they have said yes to. And then you've said yes to being a part of this supportive worship team community for that person, for those other leaders in your church, and for your community. So there are five B's that can help you remember how to best serve your worship leader. Number one, be at your very best as often as you can, musically, spiritually, and as a friend. Number two, be in good communication throughout the week that you are on, especially. Be responsive to texts and to emails and show up when you're needed. Number three, be reliable. It doesn't matter if you're an amazing bass player, if no one can count on you. If you say you'll be there on time. Care about the details. Number four, be attentive in rehearsal. Now, this is particularly to musicians. Seek to make the fraction principle work with the team and do your part. The fraction principle says that if there are seven of us on the stage, we each get 1/7 of the sound. In other words, don't play more than that unless you have a solo. Just do your part. If you're in a band of seven, you're playing your 1/7 of what you could play. You're not trying to cover everyone else's parts. You're creating space together in the music. Just do your part and don't underplay or overplay. And then five, be there for her or for him. Your worship leader works hard. They work hard to organize the team, to make Sunday happen. Do what you can to lighten the load. Now let's talk for a few moments about serving your worship team. What is it that you can contribute? In Galatians 5:22-23, we read about what are called the fruits of the Spirit. And it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." I like to use each of these words to provide a bit of an open door to some of the ways that we can serve one another as a worship team. Let's look at each one. Number one, love. Show the others you care. Do little things like tuning someone's guitar or honoring their request for a higher monitor volume. Do whatever you can when you can to show care. Number two, joy. Keep it light. Keep laughter happening, whether you're rehearsing in an intense preparation for a conference set or simply preparing for a Sunday morning. Number three, peace. If you have an issue with someone, keep short accounts. Go to them before or after rehearsal. Ask for forgiveness. Ask how you can do better at serving that person in what they do. Number four, patience. During rehearsal especially, let the others work on a part without messing with your instrument or being a distraction. Support others as they learn their parts and instruments. Number five, kindness. Be nice. A good friend says often that life is too short to make bad music. I agree. I also think that life is too short to be snippy, irritating, unkind, to offload our anger from other situations onto those in our team. Work hard at being nice, being agreeable. Number six, goodness. Everybody has had a hard week most weeks. Send encouraging texts to others, notes, even give gifts in a way that's appropriate to someone's need. Help everyone on the team rise together. Faithfulness. Number seven, show up on time. Practice your part. Work with your worship leader's arrangements. Be reliable as a team member. Number eight, gentleness. You can say what you need to say in a rehearsal or in any given situation with grace and respect. When you need to offer some input, make sure you do it in such a way that someone else can receive it. And number nine, self-control. Our personal lives are not hidden. When we pick up our instrument or get behind a soundboard or the media booth, over time, whatever is going on in our lives eventually speaks. I encourage you to practice self-control in your private life. Be a person who is accountable as you give your best as a musician or a team member. Let's talk about a few other ideas in how we can serve our worship team. Personal practice. Practice, I like to think, is for the person, and a rehearsal is for people who have already practiced. Rehearsal is not primarily a time to practice your part. Learn to love the secret place with God with your instrument. When everyone comes to a rehearsal, the group experience, ready to go, having listened to the music, having worked on their part to some degree, the music comes together quickly, and rehearsal time, I've found, and I know many have, is far more optimized and effective. Then performance versus leading. What is the difference? Well, a performance caters to an audience. A worship team serves a congregation, and that's a big difference. Yes, we need to execute the music well and cleanly, but we also need to engage in worship personally, so we're in sync with our whole congregation worshiping together. In performance, we're doing something for people. In worship leading, we are truly, in its most pure form, doing something with people. There is a we in the room that we are facilitating in worship. Then let's talk about weekly practice for a moment. First, listen to the audio versions of the songs. Ask your worship leader how close to the originals she or he would like to stay, then work your part until it's familiar. When you come to rehearsal, be ready to modify the music, to then tighten up the music. I encourage you to learn the Nashville number system so that you can transpose quickly. You can do that on your own, and it will greatly serve your worship team. Then I encourage you to stretch your preferred style of sound musically to match the style of your church's sound or the direction your church is going. 1970 was actually over 50 years ago, and I like to say that to older musicians because it's a bit of a wake-up call. 50 years ago was half a century. Styles change, sounds change, the kinds of pedals we use, the kinds of grooves we lay down, all those things can be ways that we serve our wider worship team as we learn new tricks and learn to serve with our team sonically and in heart. Then helping rehearsals go better is a job for everyone. That we can all play a part in. Come prepared for rehearsals. Show up on time or come in early. Set up your gear early so you're ready to start at the time the rehearsal begins. Then make space for everyone around you in the rehearsal to learn their parts. Your part is important. My part is important, but so are the parts of everyone else who is involved with us. Be attentive during rehearsal so you know what's going on. Have a pen. Mark up your music so that you can remember what pushes and changes will happen where. When in doubt, ask questions kindly and respectfully. That's so important. Sometimes our tone betrays our attitude from the day's events. Do your best to keep things kind and light. Get clear direction, then move on and make room for other people's questions. Let's say our attitude is another way that we can really serve our worship team. Your attitude should be the same, like my attitude, as Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 2. You are there to serve. You're there to serve your worship leader, your fellow teammates, your church in worship. I would just encourage you to stick to that as your ongoing attitude check. Make it a way that you think about serving your team, how you speak, what you say, and the tone with which you say it. Showing up on time is so important for a worship team member. When one person is late, it is usually 20, 30, or 40 minutes of rehearsal that get burned, just making up for not having everyone there on time, getting their in-ear monitors in, if that's what you use, or getting set up, or tweaking knobs, or tuning instruments. Show up early enough to have all your gear set up. Be ready to go when that rehearsal time begins. Don't show up when the rehearsal time begins. Then spend 20 minutes fixing your in-ear monitors or whatever it is that you need to get fixed. If you're learning something about the stage, if you're fresh to the team, you need to see if you can find another time other than a rehearsal, maybe to come in early or to stay late after church to learn the basics that you need to learn technically on stage to make your contribution very well. Stage presence. When we're concentrating on our music on a stage or fixated on the music stand in front of us, it really does say something to the congregation. It says quietly, subliminally, this is about the music for me. This is not about worship primarily. I'm concentrating. My furrowed brow and my motionless body tell you that that's true. I'm caught up in what's going on that music stand. And many worship musicians have no clue that that's actually happening unless you are videoed and you watch yourself through an entire worship set. Many worship musicians will see they rarely, if ever, smile. They rarely, if ever, look up and engage with the congregation, the we that we're supposed to be worshiping with. I encourage you to look up and smile just every once in a while. It doesn't need to be fake or weird or contrived, but just look up and engage with what's going on in the room just for a moment and smile. You know, I know that when that happens and I'm in the congregation, it literally lights up the room. It makes a person and the people in the community feel as though it's truly a we going on, that we're in this moment worshiping together. Then serve your worship team by treating others well. Treat others on the team with respect, with kindness, with attentive listening habits. They need you and you need them. Make it fun to play with you. Be difficult to offend. Be easy to please. It all works out together in the end. So let's talk about how you can serve your church in worship. What is the role of someone who is part of the worship team or even part of the technical team in serving your churches going forward in worship as a community? Well, first of all, note your role in church life. Don't be a green room musician or tech. Be with your team. Be with your congregation. Share in life together. Be in a small group. Be connected to the life of your church and your wider town or city in the community. It changes the music, and it truly does, in my experience, change the whole dynamic of the team when everyone has that servant posture, seeing themselves as integrated in the rising and falling of the life of the church. Secondly, pray for your church in worship. Pray that your congregation would come forward in their experience of God in worship. Be an intercessor. Be one who talks to God about this. That's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the worship leaders. It's for everyone who is part of that worship community and standing on that stage behind a microphone or doing the things it takes to make the worship environment happen on a Sunday morning. Pray that they would enter enter the songs, and that the songs would enter them and become wings for their prayers. Pray for God to touch people in your congregation as they worship. Then know and serve the vision of your church. Let what the vision of your church is for worship become your own. Ask the worship leader what that is. Ask the pastor. Get to know the vision and the mission statement of your church. Then translate that into the part you play in worship, on that stage on a Sunday morning, or in whatever area of involvement you have, and as you mingle and connect with people in the congregation. It matters, it matters, it matters to the effective leadership of musical worship on a Sunday morning when we are part of that wider community. Then, becoming a worshiper. How do we get beyond the music as musicians? Of course, we know it's bigger than just what's happening in that moment, but sometimes we can get lost in the real plot that God is furthering in our community and worship. So here I like to talk about the three C's. A commitment means I do what I say I will do. The second C, character, means that I'm walking in faithfulness, perseverance, courage, purity, and trust in my own daily life. Horace Mann once said that reputation is what men and women think of us, but character is what God and the angels know of us. What's really going on in there? Be true to the commitments that you have in all of your life and tend to your character. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Get involved in ministry situations where you will grow as a disciple of Jesus. Then calling means that you've been invited by God to participate. That means that God welcomed you to do this. Therefore, be responsive as a servant, as a child of God, in the details to do it well. It's not a right to be on the worship team. It truly is a privilege. Keep your heart soft. Be as willing to step off a stage as you are to step on one. Then worship in private. Spend time with your instrument privately, worshiping every week if you're playing an instrument. Or in general, fill your car with worship music or your home at different times. I love all sorts of music from many different artists. My life is full of music. But I've come to learn now at my age, as I've grown older as a worship leader and as a community member, I've realized that I need worship, vibrant worship music that meets me where I am in my life. I need to be singing at the top of my lungs while I'm driving down the freeway, meeting with God through songs that particularly have a goal of focusing me on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and then opening me to God in continued surrender and an offering of myself as a worshiper and as a disciple. If you're meeting with God in your instrument in private or in ways that matter in worship, it will literally change the sound of the music you play in public. Then live authentically on and off the stage. When Jesus said he was looking for worshipers who worship in spirit and truth in John chapter 4, it meant that he was looking for people who are the real deal. We're worshiping from the core of ourselves, in spirit, from the heart, in truth. Who we authentically are is coming before God with thankfulness. Have rhythms in your life that keep you steady on that. Personal rhythms that cause you to start your day with thankfulness and attentiveness to God. Personal rhythms that help you go to sleep at night, rehearsing the faithfulness of God from the day. Now, I'd like to share with you just a few practical thoughts that I think might help you and strengthen you as you go forward in your journey serving with your worship community. Here are just a few reminders that I think will help. Number one, how should I handle conflict? Well, if you have conflict with someone, pray for them and for your relationship first. Pray more than you say. Second, if needed, go to that person with humility and seek to make it right. Then, if the situation is still difficult, go to the third step of involving someone you both respect to help you work through whatever issue that may be. I encourage you, truly, keep short accounts. I also encourage you, don't use email to try to fix things. There are times email and texts can help, but they often take away what can only be understood in face-to-face interaction. That might be challenging for some of us, but I'd encourage you, with a smile, with grace, come to people and be honest with them about how you're feeling. In that moment, I've seen so many times that God brings healing, not only connection, but also something that has ripple effects in the team. Secondly, ask the question, how long should I serve? Now, your local worship team might already have time limits for how long you should serve on the team. I'd suggest that you take a break at least once every year or two just to make room for anyone else that God may be wanting to raise up in your role. If you can, be willing to train others to do your part. In worship teams I've been in, I encourage people to be very open to stepping off the stage and on the stage so that we don't cling to our role too much. And then, if someone wanted to step off and I felt like they should stay on, I would ask them to stay on for a time, but to begin to develop someone else. Are there other musicians or technicians that you could be working with right now to maybe work yourself out of a job or step into that sweet role where you are encouraging others in your role? When is it time to step back? Well, if you're getting tired or you're starting to feel cranky about little nitpicky things in the worship ministry, it might be time to take a break. God may also whisper to you that He wants to use you in a different way for your own health or to give someone else a chance to serve. Be attentive to those things. Well, what about gear and growth? Well, I think it's important to keep your gear up and current so you can keep serving with equipment that isn't breaking down or limiting or not sounding the way that it needs to. Also, I encourage you as a musician to keep taking lessons. We're never too old to get better at what we do and to learn from others. If you're involved as a sound tech or a media tech, I encourage you, watch YouTube videos, learn from others who have a great ear and get better at what you do. We can learn from YouTube, from recorded musicians, from people who are better than us at what we do, and from one another. Be a lifelong learner. Well, let me say just a few words in conclusion and offer you this blessing. Being on the worship team is truly a great privilege. I bless you. I bless you to stay steady in your own walk with Jesus. I bless you in your own worship life for it to flourish. I bless you and encourage you to embrace your own servant life in the church and in the worship team. God invited you for a purpose to step into this role. Lean into it. Live into it. Become a worshiper. Become an intercessor for your church and for your worship team and for those that you support as worship leaders and those who lead in your community. Remember, God is not asking for perfection in what we do, just for devotion, faithfulness in the little things. And I encourage you to enjoy your time in the worship team. Keep giving your very best to see Jesus made famous in your community. Thanks for joining me in this Welcome to the Worship Team piece, and I just say bless you as you serve in your worship team. Take care.